One of the many themes that run throughout Scripture is that of remembrance or remembering. It runs like a golden thread all the way through from the Old Testament all the way through to the New. And remembrance is key and crucial to the whole story of God. And as we look at that, and we're going to look at some of those readings a bit later on during my talk, we will see that God calls us to be a people who remember. But it's not a remembering that leaves us in a place of sadness, but a remembering that leads us to some other place, a place of hope in Jesus Christ, a remembering that has a future about it and a destination and all kinds of possibilities that are true when we make our faith real in Christ. One of the things that will always stay in my mind and I will remember is a visit to Yad Vashem in Jerusalem. And basically, obviously you can visit as a museum where they recall the horrific events, or at least some of them, of World War II and the story of the Jewish people, known to the people of that time in Germany as the Jewish problem, particularly the Nazis. And their aim was to destroy, as you know, the Jewish people as a nation. And so they went on this extraordinary bout of killing and torturing and destroying the very name of the Jews and its nation. And so as one wanders around the museum, you see different artifacts, but also you hear the names of children being read, so it's hard to get through this place. It's a really difficult thing to do. But at the end of it, as we emerge teary-eyed at the other end, there are these words written, which gives us the hopeful bit and a reminder. It says this: the forgetfulness leads to exile, while remembering leads to redemption. I'm going to say that again because it's fairly important words. Forgetfulness leads to exile, while remembering leads to redemption. It leads us to that place where there is hope, in other words. And people who choose to forget the past and forget the enormity of the crimes of that within that Second World War, and indeed in lots of other wars since, past and more present, if we forget those things, it leads us to a place of exile, of almost imprisonment, because we choose to forget how bad things can become if we do not choose the right option. In the last week, we have seen events take another turn in our world when obviously a passenger liner was brought down, probably by a bomb. And that's a scary thought. But what it's a reminder of is that actually in our world there exists the potential for great evil. We think it's always them and it doesn't begin somewhere else. Whereas evil actually has its basis somewhere else. In the hearts of every human being there is a possibility of getting things wrong. It's a matter of degree. And when we choose to forget, you know, the things that we have done wrong, there too we are led to a place of exile. Exile from within ourselves, but also exile from God. So today is about remembering something that happened in the First and the Second World War, but not just then. We have witnessed and are continuing to witness extraordinary acts of terrorism and violence in our world, which needs to be remembered so that we can take it to God in prayer and pray that it will lead to something else. It'll lead to the next part of that phrase, remembering which leads to redemption. That's what we want to look for and to hope for in our world and in our lives. And I was praying last evening in the cathedral. There was a lady called Jackie Pullinger that came to speak, and she once worked in Hong Kong amongst the triads who were around in those days in the walled city. And she went in, she's quite a tiny lady, but very powerful in God. And she went to bring something of God's love to that situation and to turn their lives around. And in the beginning, of course, apart from the constraints of language difficulties, there was also the problem of understanding the message that she was trying to bring. Because the message that she was trying to bring was that Jesus loves them. But they didn't know who he was. Had no idea who Jesus was. And so it was a message that was passing them by. And in the end, what she had to offer was the love of Christ in her as she served them in their lives. So to the prostitutes and the triads who lived there during those times, she simply brought God's love and forgiveness and hope for the future. And she would serve them. And gradually their hearts began to melt. And then, once she'd brought that example of God's love, then they were ready to hear the message about who lay behind her servant heart. And as I was listening to all of that last night, I was just beginning to think about this whole business of remembering, which is, if we leave it at remembering the events of wars and just leave it there, then it can lead to just a sorrow. We need to take it on. It needs to go somewhere. And we need to hope that we can move beyond all of this. And as I suggest, remembering is like a thread that runs through Scripture. The children of Israel, who were in slavery in Egypt, were told to teach their children to remember all that God had done for them, that he had released them from captivity and slavery and led them to a place, to the promised land. Now, it took a long time because we're not good as human beings at listening, are we? So because they didn't listen to it, it took 40 years. But nevertheless, God was doing a work in their lives and leading them to a place of freedom, to the promised land. Remembering continues. They were told to remember the Sabbath day. It was a holy day of rest. And God set a holy day of rest because we need rest for our bodies and souls. Remember it. This is a holy day unto God. And this is something, of course, that the Jews still do today. And until recently, we've done on Sundays. It's been a holy day, a day of rest for the family, but also a time to reflect a bit more widely and deeply upon the God who is present in our world and wants to be even more present to us in our lives. All of these are still important things to remember. If you fast forward to the New Testament and Jesus, when he was beginning to make his journey to the cross and eventually was crucified, which is the hope, incidentally, of the world's redemption, not just mine and yours, but the world's redemption. When he was there on the cross and there were two criminals, one either side, it's a very telling thing that one of the criminals began to chide Jesus, but the other one wanted to know a wee bit more. As his last moments of his life began to ebb away, he wanted to know, is there more than this? And as he realized that, of course, there is, he asked the question, Jesus, will you remember me when you come into your kingdom? Jesus went beyond just remembering and promised something even more wonderful. And he said this. Jesus said, I tell you the truth that today you will be with me in paradise. So not just being remembered, but taken to a new place. That's what was on offer to the criminal on the cross, who, to all intents and purposes, was dying but gave his life up to Christ. So today, as we remember the fallen, we need to look beyond their names and look beyond all of that into the hope of the future. They gave their lives as a sacrifice, that is true. And we are ever thankful for those who continue to do that and still have to do that. It is a sadness, I think, in God's heart as well as ours, that it is still necessary for people to go to war. But that is the nature of fallen humanity. People make mistakes, and at one level or another, whether it's amongst families or friends or nations, people fall out, sometimes in an extraordinary way, to the extent that their eyes become blinded and they begin to commit atrocities which have to be addressed, and they are addressed unfortunately, by our men and women in the services, who have to do that work on our behalf. So it is important for us to remember today, and that's exactly what we are doing. We will remember those who have fallen in the First World War and in the Second World War, and we'll spend a moment reflecting too upon those who have given their lives since, and indeed from this very community. But we want to look beyond that. We want to look beyond that to the redemption, because beyond remembering lies a place of wholeness and healing, that place of paradise that Jesus was speaking of to the thief on the cross. Today you will be with me in paradise. And paradise, of course, is that place where we go when we leave this world. Initially, we go to be with Jesus and we are with him in paradise when we give our lives to him. And in the context of that, Paul writes these extraordinary words. Where, O death, is your victory? Where, O death, is your sting? What he means by that is that because Jesus came on this earth and lived and died as we all do, but was raised as we must be, something happened on the cross, something more powerful than perhaps many of us can even begin to understand. That death was to lead to the redemption and forgiveness of the world. Now, clearly, people are still not listening because they're still making mistakes, as we all do. We're all sinful and we need to come back to God continually to seek his grace, his forgiveness and his redemption. And therein lies the hope of peace. When we allow God's extraordinary grace, his free love, divine love, for us to work in our hearts, and we allow God to work his Son, Jesus Christ, into our lives, it changes the perspective about how we live. And I believe that Jesus wants to continue to do that. That's clear from not just the readings today, but it's absolutely imperative that we allow this to happen in our lives. But it always begins with you and me. It's a very personal thing. And your faith is personal to you. But it can't stay there. God does a work that is extraordinary and powerful when we allow him to do his work. But the future hope, which Micah the prophet foretold, and which Paul speaks of, is what will happen ultimately. He talks about a hope beyond death. This is what we strive for and look forward to. And yet all the striving has been done on the cross at Calvary. So when Jesus said some of the final few words that he ever spoke, he said this, he said, "It is finished." And what he meant to say there, or what he was meaning to say there, was that the battle between him and Satan was actually finished and done with. That doesn't mean to say, as I suggest, that evil does not continue to exist. It does. But there is limited power. Satan has limited power to work evil in this world or in our lives. But it usually happens when people forget what happens, when we forget God. When God is central to our lives, we cannot live without knowing that there's something adrift, something akilter within our lives when we do something wrong. So we need to pray with all our heart, mind, soul and strength that people will see for themselves both the goodness of God but also the evil that exists if we choose to reject him. Where, O death, is your victory? The victory in death was that Jesus was raised on the third day. That's why we gather here on a Sunday, week in and week out. It is the Lord's Day. It's the day when we are just so aware of his amazing grace and his amazing love. And it's that which motivates people like Jackie Pullinger, who I was speaking of earlier, and many of you and others in our world to do things and to go the extra mile for God. To do things that will enable people to see a better way of living, a better hope, a better future. A hope that leads individuals to the presence of God and allows him to work in our lives. Paul says, always give yourselves fully to the work of the Lord, because you know that your labour in the Lord is never in vain. For some, that will include, unfortunately, still today, as we were thinking about earlier, some will have to give their lives and they will go to war because of a broken world. For some, that labour in the Lord will be to do with how we govern our lives as individuals and as communities and as families and friends and all those things. But none of us are exempt from this call to service in Christ. And as we allow him to work in us, and as we allow God to work his Son into the centre of our being, so we will see the hope that lies beyond. So yes, forgetfulness does lead to exile. It leads people to that place where they feel imprisoned by their own wrongdoing, and they feel that there's no way out. And there is. It's been there for 2,000 years, complete and true, if we turn to Christ. And then remembering. Remember with everything you've got, both things that you've been through in your lives, because it always has a purpose. Nothing is wasted in this life. Remember what happened and where it's led you to today. And I always have a hope about the future, about what God would have for you. Because he says, I know the plans that I have for you. All of it is open to us. But we need to turn to Christ and to hear of the hope that he brings. So beyond remembering, he leads us to a place of wholeness and healing and redemption. It seems to me that that's what today is all about. Remembering, healing, wholeness, and redemption. Let us pray.